I believe there's many pieces to how we solve for this, including starting, to inspire curiosity in girls at six. My daughter's 10. I know you have little people as well, and inspiring curiosity through multiple exposures from a very, very early age is really important. But without changing sort of the number of role models and working to advance the women in the ecosystem right now into greater leadership roles, I fear that we'll keep perpetuating this problem.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
The Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So every once in a while, you are walking through a bookstore and happen to overhear a conversation that you just feel compelled to enter. Okay, well, I've actually only had that happen to me once, but that's how I ended up with my guest on the podcast today. Jody Kovitz is the founder of Move the Dial, an organization that is committed to creating inclusiveness and a voice for women in the technology sector. She has galvanized literally tens of thousands of women as part of this organization, and she is a true leader and entrepreneur. I literally was standing beside the business and health, self-help section in a bookstore when I overheard Jody speaking, and I had heard of her and had multiple people say, you need to get to know one another, but I had never actually had the opportunity to meet her. And so I just jumped in and we started to chat, and it was such a fruitful and incredible conversation. And I'm very, very excited to have the opportunity to introduce Jody and her incredible work to all of you. So without further ado, my new bookstore friend, Jody Kovitz. Jody Kovitz, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you. So delighted to be here with you today.
I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I feel like we have a lot of things to explore and unpack. And I also just want to tell people once we get into it how we met, because it's actually kind of funny. But can you give everybody a really quick synopsis and background on who you are and how we ended up here today?
Absolutely. So thanks so much for having me. I'm Jody Kovitz. I'm the CEO and founder of an organization and community called Hashtag Move the Dial. We are focused on advancing the participation and leadership of all women-identified folks in the tech and innovation ecosystem. So really, that's everything, given how tech is everything these days. And I really live by a philosophy of just say hello. You never know if you put yourself out there who you might connect with and meet and what might come of that hello. And when we were both in an Indigo browsing the latest business and self-help books mixed together station, you had amazing energy and I said hello to you and then we started chatting.
It was so funny. I think we both had this moment where we're like, okay, this is actually how it happens. Like you just talk to people, right?
Totally. And you never know what happens when you actually have the courage to do that and connect soul to soul versus being, looking down or in your phone and distracted.
100%. And what it was interesting, and I shared this with you that evening, as I said, so many people had mentioned you to me, but we had never had an opportunity to connect. And I'm one of these people that just sometimes just sort of surrenders to the universe. And I was like, well, the timing is right. And the timing was right. So I'm really excited to jump in on a variety of topics today. But I want to first start by addressing the need for Move the Dial in the first place. And I had a digital media startup a few years ago. I was very aware of the difference between men and women in technology, and certainly the disparity in numbers between men and women. How did this become something that you were actually interested in taking on?
That's a great question, and thank you for asking it. I started my career in tech 20 years ago, And at that time, I was very fortunate to work with an awesome CEO who's stayed a mentor and advisor to me. His name's David Ossip, and he's a multiple serial founder, we would call him in the tech space, who's built many very successful technology companies. Currently, he's the CEO of a company called Ceridian. At that time, the company was called WorkBrain. And that was my first gig right out of Ivy, where I went to business school. And I learned an incredible amount from him. But one of the things that was extremely clear to me even then is that I didn't see myself reflected on the leadership team. And it was a different sort of time, a different consciousness at that time. And it wasn't conscious to me that I left because there weren't women on, the team that I could look up to. But when I met an awesome role model, her name's Pat Krajewski, 20 years ago through a friend for networking and potential mentoring, I just was so inspired by her that I wanted to work with her. And so that was what I call, seed one of the Move the Dial 20 years ago, that the tech ecosystem really didn't have representation of many kinds, but including gender 20 years ago. Fast forward, I worked at the bank, Scotiabank, with her for a couple of years, went to law school, practiced law. Then I spent a number of years in strategic business development. And then I ended up being recruited to become the CEO of a nonprofit in the tech space called Ace Tech Ontario, then now called PeerScale. It's an awesome organization that's really focused on peer-to-peer networking for very successful software as a service technology CEOs. And they wanted someone to come in and help them with the future and the strategy of the organization. And I did that. But one of the things that was apparent to me when I got there is that there were really very few women who were members of the organization at that time that I joined. It's quite different now. Tons of amazing women identified leaders there. But at that time, it was very clear that there really weren't as many women in the ecosystem, and the membership was representative of that. So I saw the need and started to get excited about what some passionate people could do to change that.
Why do you think then, and even in some cases now, there are fewer women in the tech ecosystem? And I think we could probably say this about any given vertical, but we're talking tech today.
Yeah, great question. I think there's a variety of reasons. I think, there are less women at the top, and therefore less role models, very much like my own story. And so it's very hard for women to see themselves in leadership roles. And so if they even go into tech, or historically have gone into tech, they have tended to leave. And that sort of creates a cycle, because there's less women than men graduating from STEM programs. When we talk about women in tech, there's women in tech and then there's women who tech, mm-hmm. we like to say, so sort of technical engineers and women who are, actually doing the building. There are less women that are graduating statistically from university programs than men, even though the number altogether in Canada, for example, graduating from university is higher than men. We're like above 60% for graduates overall, but the numbers are quite dramatically lower when we look at STEM graduates. And a huge part of that is because they don't have the role models. So I believe there's many pieces to how we solve for this, including starting, to inspire curiosity in girls at six. My daughter's 10. I know you have little people as well, and inspiring curiosity through multiple exposures from a very, very early age is really important. But without changing sort of the number of role models and working to advance the women in the ecosystem right now into greater leadership roles, I fear that we'll keep perpetuating this problem.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I think there's sometimes some practical pieces, and I would love to hear your perspective on this, because the role model, I absolutely agree with you. And where I was very aware of this was when we were in a funding round. I have three little girls. We were in a funding round. I was pregnant with my third and standing in front of a room full of investors and clearly having to come out of the gates managing the fact that I was pregnant and trying to raise money, not to mention the fact that I was trying to raise a family. Whereas it's a very practical challenge I think for women in any space, but especially in one where there's so much requirement on rapid innovation and the capacity to pivot quickly and different demands. Certainly I felt different demands on me than sometimes I observed in my peers. How did you manage that phase of your life?
Well, you know, I would say not well.
Yeah, fair. Okay. Well, let's take all the pressure off the table, everyone.
Yeah, I mean, let's be serious. Listen, I always believe that authentic conversations are the most meaningful. So when my daughter was born, I actually remember I really took a year off. I took the full maternity leave. I was practicing law at the time. And I remember that first year where my only job was to focus on nourishing my daughter, mind, body, soul, was really the best year of my life. I was so present to it. I loved it. I have this extremely vivid memory. I had a CD player in her bedroom. I don't know why I had a CD player still.
are not that old.
Right? I mean, a little bit. And I had one CD, and that CD was James Taylor.
Okay, I take it back. No, I'm just kidding.
I sat there and I listened to that James Taylor in the rocking chair with her. And I think about that, you know, quite often, that I was very lucky that I gave myself the opportunity to pause. But if I was an entrepreneur at that time, that never would have happened. If I was running, building this business, including, you know, at the pace that we're growing globally and building our technology component of our operation and business. And so I find it incredibly inspiring to watch people like you that were building a business and raising kids and pregnant all at the same time, because it's incredibly difficult. I was very fortunate to sort of be able to compartmentalize and enjoy that time with my daughter. I ended up recognizing when my daughter was quite young, she was between sort of the years of 2 and 4. She's totally healthy now, but she spent a lot of time in the hospital. She had a number of different infections, and that time of my life really, when I was practicing law, literally in the cafeteria of Sick Kids Hospital while parenting my daughter upstairs, I realized, like, no, the pace of this is not going to work for me, and this is not what I'm going to do. So that's what sort of caused me to pivot. And I don't think it's super uncommon that women, when they're trying to sort of raise young children, you know, rock their careers, and also build a self that, you know, we can each be proud of, that it's really hard to do all of those things at the same time.
They say that you are the product of the 5 people with whom you spend the most time. Imagine you could spend time with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs and go-getters looking to uplevel their business, body, and mindset. The Entrepology Collective does not belong to us. It belongs to you. Come hang out with us on Facebook and let us collectively inspire, support, and cheerlead you towards your vision for contribution, your commitment towards better health, and your journey of mindset mastery. We are in this together. We are entrepreneurs by birth, by choice, and by mission. We are the Entrepology Collective. Search for us on Facebook and come join your tribe. And I want to really talk about some of the things that you guys do with Move the Dial and your upcoming summit. And you know, part of sharing that story is not necessarily to be like, oh, look, I can do it all. And especially for like people listening, we have these conversations all the time. How do we achieve balance? But I also think that it's important to acknowledge the unique perspective of women in balancing out those pieces as technology is developed, as we're attempting to create technology that's inclusive of a variety of different experiences. Can you speak to that idea? I know with respect to your global summit coming up, there's going to be a lot of conversation related to the importance of including women in technology so that we are lending that voice and we're able to ensure that the experience that this huge percentage of the population has is representative in what is created. What sort of themes are you addressing from this respect?
I love that. So, you know, the theme of this year is Global Summit. We had our inaugural summit last year. It was completely sold out. So inspiring to see our community come together. The vision around the summit is to bring together both world thought leaders who can share best practice on the future of inclusive design. So when we say that, global leaders from Microsoft, Airbnb, et cetera, but also to showcase awesome women that are rocking their careers and the other elements of themselves. So i.e. motherhood. You look at badass Bose, who's Bose St. John, who's going to be one of our amazing featured speakers in the afternoon. She has a 10-year-old daughter, I believe she's 10 or 11. Single mom, she's a widow, and she's built a massive career being herself and creating a life that works for her in both of those roles, which I think is really important. She was at Uber in a really important time of their lives. She's now the CMO of William Endeavor. We have other incredible humans, a woman named Lee Turner, who's the CEO of Ceridian, president of Ceridian, working with my former mentor, David Ossip. She took it over. It's a $1 billion software company. She's a mom and she's been rocking her career for, the last number of years, growing into increasingly big roles. And the reason that we like to showcase these women who are doing really big jobs, as well as many founders who have found their own ways and VCs, to sort of share that there are many different ways to sort of be able to be all the selves, both rock star leader doing amazing, important work, making a big difference in the world and putting out products that are interesting and relevant and successful, as well as being able to build sort of the lives that enable us to do all the different things. And that's a huge theme. It's all in is the theme, because it takes all of us in order to move the dial to advance all the humans, but also, there's so many interpretations of the theme. Like, it also takes all different kinds of us doing, the future of work in our own ways.
Yeah, I think it's amazing. And can you comment on some of the areas where bias has historically existed in the creation of technology? And in particular, I'm thinking about things like artificial intelligence. Like, what happens when women aren't at the table for this type of creation?
So that's a really important question, and it's something I care deeply about. So when I talk about sort of why we need to move the dial, I think we're all very clear around the moral imperative. We're in 2019, we need to be in a place where all the humans have opportunities. We also need all the humans to create a sustainable economy. But this question you've asked around artificial intelligence is really what's, to me, creating the urgency as to why we need to move the dial. So when you think about humans at a design table, for instance, building a technology solution. Let's use, for example, a self-driving car. If you don't have different perspectives, lived experiences, contexts, different abilities, different backgrounds, different, really even coming from different socioeconomic classes, different races, all of the different sexual orientations, ways that you can identify, and plus all the intersections of those identities, when you are building that car, which essentially is, when you're using artificial intelligence, you're training the car's quote-unquote mind how to make decisions in millions of different circumstances. So imagine you're leaving out half the population, A, from a gender perspective, and then B, layer on all of the intersections that even we have to bring to that table in order to appreciate all the different permutations. That car is out on the road. If that car doesn't have all of the perspectives, I really fear that car will not value two different lives in the same way. And that is a very poignant and very serious example of why I think this is so important. But also, you can look at sort of real life examples. Amazon, for example, built a recruiting platform, and because of the gross sort of gap, the big gender gap, the majority of the resumes that were coming in the industry were that of men. So the artificial intelligence taught the machines learned how to prefer the applications of men. All the applications of that included the word woman, so women's chess club, women's volleyball club, were going to the bottom of the pile. Amazon, to their credit, pulled the software. But this is an example of what happens when there's not necessarily all the perspectives at the design table who may have been able, and I'm not an expert in artificial intelligence, but my perspective is that if we would have had more humans at the design table, we could have prevented the machines from coding that bias in the first place. So those are two examples of, you know, the real impact that artificial intelligence is having on us.
What kind of conversations do you have with your daughter related to careers in technology? Is that an area where you want her to go? Like, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I was like, it isn't just a matter of not just the membership piece, but it's like, we gotta start talking to kids when they're younger about the viability and intrigue of these types of careers. How can we as women generally open that conversation, even if we're not in technology?
Awesome to think about that. And so because I do this work, my daughter thankfully is extremely exposed to technology as an option for her career. But she really only has taken an interest really in technology through multiple exposures to coding herself. And so a really easy way to do that is by exposing to books about what coding means and what you can do with coding. There's an amazing series of books put out by Girls Who Code, as well as Google put out a fantastic book on this topic. She plays with robots and codes the robots, which is really exciting to watch, but it makes it really fun for her, as well as, you know, I try to expose her to many different leaders in the technical space through my events and just online, till she can see different tech leaders look like, so she doesn't just have the perspective that many of us grew up with, that a tech leader looks like Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs. And those are really smart, incredible leaders, but they're not the only version of what a tech leader can look like. So really exposing her to talks, to books, to coding. The library has, you know, different programming. There's amazing programs put on by an organization called Canada Learning Code, Actua. There's tons of free coding apps. I really encourage parents, anyone I can speak to expose kids of all genders, including girls, to as much as early as possible as you can, simply to inspire curiosity. However, the research shows that teaching to code itself is not enough. It really has to be combined with conversation around possibility of careers and role models and exposure to those kinds of role models in order to excite and inspire our youth to consider all the possibilities in their future of tech.
Yeah, I really like this. And, you know, as we're exploring different programming for our kids generally, I love that coding is just so frequently cited as such a common option for them. Like, it's the one. I went to Waterloo, but I studied biology there. But I wish I had actually had that exposure. It's kind of like the generation before wishing they had played the piano. I was like, oh, I wish I could do that. Because it, regardless of the fact that I didn't think that my career would move into technology at all, that's just where we're at in the world today. It's another language that I wish I had access to.
Total. I love that you put it that way, because I agree with that. And I believe that coding is the language of the future and really a universal language. It doesn't matter if you're a child in Ghana or Pakistan or Canada or Asia. You know, you really are we are able to build, I think, a universe that can come together through the language of code, the more we can expose our kids and provide global access to the language of code. Love that idea.
I was going to say, what kind of kids programs do you have at Move the Dial?
So great question. We are building out our youth programming. Part of the ethos, I mean, we've done, my daughter taught a coding workshop.
That's amazing.
And part of that, listen, when you talk about parenting, and I'd be curious, you know, whether your kids are doing this too. My daughter watches me being an entrepreneur. So that kind of inspires her entrepreneurial spirit. So if my daughter says she wants to organize a coding class or make a dog walking business, I really do try to support these little things because it's through the practice of these little, experiences of seeing a burst of their entrepreneurial interest and engaging them that I think does enable our kids to develop the ability and sort of mindset of being little entrepreneurs and then growing into that. But in terms of official programming, Move the Dial really exists to create programming in white space. It's also meant to be an amplifier of all the other amazing programs. So one of the things that was very clear early on is even though we did a tiny little coding workshop because, you know, Lily wanted to as my daughter and I wanted to enable that, Move the Dial's, you know, raison d'etre is to support the existing coding programs for the most part. So there's Girls Who Code in Canada, Canada Learning Code, Actua. These are all incredible programs that already exist that we seek to amplify. For example, last week we celebrated Mel, who's the CEO of Canada Learning Code, through our Dial Movers exhibit, which was an exhibit we featured at an Elevate Technology Festival that had 20,000 attendees in Toronto, shining a light on her as a leader of building youth programs in code because she's doing that great work already. What we're working on with some of our partners is to identify the white space with respect to youth so that we can fill the gap. My hunch is that it has to do with connecting youth to role models and powerful mentors. We are building a platform that will enable that and in time. But we're really doing a bunch of research to make sure that we can really add significant value in the youth space and really lift up the other programs that exist at the same time.
Hey, you. If you're a colleague, if you're a practitioner, if you are seeing patients, if you are looking to up-level your impact in the health and wellness space, I wanted to let you know that we are hosting one heck of an amazing event taking place on November 21, 22, 23 in Toronto. Impact Lives is our signature flagship event that takes place on an annual basis, and it is a coming together of some of the most impactful people in the health and wellness industry. Over the 3 days, we are unpacking the mindset that has been holding you back from achieving the impact you have always dreamed of. We are spending a day looking at new tactics and techniques, some of the things that people are using in a cutting edge capacity to take their impact and their practice to the next level. And if you want to join us for our VIP bonus day, we are going deep in a workshop setting, 6 different workshops to up-level your mindset, your business, and your impact. Impact Lives is an incredible experience. And our promise to you this year is that when you walk through the door, you will not be capable of leaving as the same person you were when you arrived. If you want to learn more about how you can participate in Impact Lives, check us out online, www.impactlivesevent.com. I cannot wait to see you there.
Yeah, I feel like just articulating that is part of the female experience because there's nothing I can't stand more than repeating a job.
Yes.
Exactly. Right? Like that's the one thing I say to my kids. What makes mommy angry? They're like doing a job more than once. I was like, yeah. And if there's people who are really already doing incredible things, and this is what I love about, I find women in business, one of the things we're very good at doing is galvanizing community.
Yes.
And elevating one another. So it isn't a competitive mindset. It's very much like, oh, you're doing wicked things. Let me elevate you. You're doing wicked things. Let me elevate you. Because it's, I feel like it's just second nature for us to want to drive community. Not to say that men don't do it. It's just, it's, I actually think it's easy for us to think that way.
I agree. And it's really about sort of a value set of abundance, I think. And I noticed it about you when I first met you, you know, you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. You're going to go on my podcast. And when we were talking about the work that I'm doing, and I just appreciate that so much. I do think, you know, there are a lot of women who live in abundance, but I fundamentally believe it's an ethos and you either choose to live with generosity of spirit or you don't. And that's actually when I told you a little bit about the book that I'm writing, that's the theme. It's called Go Out of Your Way, How One Small Act Can Move the Dial in Life and Business. And it's really about, you know, at its core, adopting a generous mindset and understanding that abundance begets abundance.
It totally does. And I've said this a few times recently on the podcast. I feel like I'm at this phase of life where all of the titles on the notebooks at the bookstore and a book like yours, I actually get it. Like it's not just a random saying anymore. I'm like, oh, I know. Like these people are at a place in life where they also they also got it. And I'm smiling as you're recounting that story, because I get this question all the time, which is, where do you find your guests for the podcast? And I'm like, you just randomly solicit them while they're walking amongst them their day. And Jody, I love what you're sharing, and I love the mission that you are on. Can you share with people a little bit about how they can gain access to your upcoming event? Because I know we're going to have people within our audience who are interested in learning more.
Absolutely. If you go to movethedial.com and you click summit, you'll see how to register for tickets to our global summit. We'd love to have you. If finances are a barrier, please reach out to me by email, jody@movethedial.com. We really aim to be super inclusive, and we enable people who have financial barriers to participate, and we rely on the rest of our community to support us in enabling that. So please do join us. It's going to be an incredible day. There will be performances. There will be incredible food. We really believe in modeling best-in-class inclusion as well as the content. So we are fully accessible in terms of we have free childcare that we're making available. People can register for that in advance through our partner Kids and Company. We also have prayer rooms. We have all sorts of different food modifications, gluten-free, vegan, nut-free, all of those things. We have accessible, of course, for all different forms of ability, including interpreters. We're really, really excited to create a best-in-class inclusion experience and to inspire people and to enable some really meaningful networking. We're all about connecting. There's tons of connecting spaces and incredible leaders and decision makers within the tech community. So if you're looking to grow your network, be inspired, or find a new job, or potentially start your own thing and meet a whole bunch of entrepreneurs, please join us at movethedial.com to register for our summit.
It's amazing. And we'll hook everyone up in our show notes so that they can access that event. And Jody, I feel like this is a really perfect time to transition the interview. We have the second portion of the interview. I call it our KPIs. So just like we have key performance indicators in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our lives as well. So indulge me. I've got a few rapid fire questions coming your way.
Ready.
Okay. Who is inspiring you right now?
Oh, shivers when you said that. Great women leaders. Sheryl Sandberg, always an inspiration to me. Reshma Sojani, who started the movement Brave Not Perfect and founded Girls Who Code. Golda Meir is a lifetime inspiration. I read her autobiography, My Life, many, many years ago, many times. And you. And I love this show, and I love what you're doing. I really enjoyed listening to your podcast and hearing from all of your different guests. I love your ethos, and that they're some of my inspirations.
Aw, thank you. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
In this moment, I am reading a book called Dear Founder. It's by Maynard Webb, and it's all about lessons for founders. And I'm also listening on my Audible on my way to work to Gabby Bernstein, who I love to listen to for my inspiration. I'm listening to Super Attractor. And I just read Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss, and I would highly encourage people to read it in terms of power for negotiation.
Look at you. These are good suggestions.
Thank you.
What is the one thing you're most consistent with respect to your health?
Exercise would be my most consistent. It's always really been a stress reliever, as well as where I center and ground myself. And it's taken various forms over the years. My home is hot yoga in terms of exercise. When I can't get to a class, I often listen to Jessica Robertson, who's the co-founder of Moto Yoga, on a CD, actually back to the CD, in my bedroom with a little mini heater. But, you know, given my schedule these days, that often happens at 5 a.m. I have a trainer that comes over twice a week at 6:30 a.m. And my daughter and I actually this morning were enjoying Wayne Buff Boy Fitness, my incredible friend slash trainer, who comes over and works to keep me fit with my daughter. And I do it with her so that I can spend time with her in the times that I have her. We work out together.
This is such a fabulous plan. I just need to, normally I just really do rapid fire, but I just need to pause and acknowledge for one moment that the woman moving the dial on women and technology has referenced CDs twice in a single episode of the Anthropology Podcast. It's made me smile. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I love canoe tripping, and I am a kick-ass portager of canoes. I can carry a 50-pound canoe for 6 kilometers if I put my mind to it, and I love being in nature more than anything.
Amazing. What do you do for fun or play?
I love movies. I love musical theater, and I love to eat really good food at great restaurants or cook elaborate meals.
And last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think it's both. I think you have to have the guts, and the guts you're born with, but I think you can only really build a big, big org if you have a growth mindset and are always willing to take feedback, learn, and push yourself.
Jody Kovitz from Move the Dial, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's been so fun.
We will hook everybody up with all the links to be able to access Jody's movement and her upcoming event here in November. Thank you again for sharing with us.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or Apple Podcast and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. If you have a second, we would also really love a review. The more that you are able to share, the more people that we are able to help. You know, I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. And my guest today was such a perfect example of that. Jody is living that in the work that she does. And I know many of you are going to be interested in what it is that she is up to. You can head on over to meganwalker.com/podcast to find all the information and show notes related to today's episode. Until we hang out again next week, go build amazing stuff, and we'll talk to you soon.